Properly appreciate the following program. Take your television set into the kitchen. Set it up in front of the open oven. Turn the oven up to 400 degrees. Make sure it's plenty hot. Squat down in front of it until you're well toasted. Then have your wife blow cigarette ashes in your eyes. Then you'll know what it's like.
By the scenes of their early triumphs and early defeats. Well, when I was a kid, when I was 17, I worked in the steel mill. I'd just gotten out of high school. And I can remember coming through the number 3 open hearts, right where you are at this minute. I'd come running in out of the cold, wearing my hard hat, my cobalt glasses, my asbestos gloves. And I would feel a fantastic searing heat, 3,000 degrees, a fire at brimstone. And I'd run through the number 3 open heart, trailing smoke. Dylan Thomas is right. Ever since that time, I've identified with Mephisto. I have identified with the devil himself. Oh, yeah, guys who grow up in beautiful scenes of farms, beautiful suburban country, they always identify with good. I identify with the River Styx. This is where I grew up. Come, join me.
When you look back on some great thing that happened to you in your life, you don't remember it as a solitary, single, long thing. You just sort of remember bits like a voice, a room, the smell of something. It's all kind of like a mosaic, bits and pieces, kind of like some kind of tapestry. No sense to it. It's just there. And that's the way my steel mill life was. I can't really remember much else than just a lot of things, voices, people, smells, the taste of a sandwich, the sound of something breaking, the steel. I remember the first day that I walked in through the clock house. I was all excited. I didn't know where to go. And there was a guy standing by the number one clock house who was handing out samples. It was 8 hour a day cut plug tobacco. Down to the stores to buy yourself a new pair of safety shoes. And you have a whole selection of different kinds of safety shoes. You can get the sport model. You can get the full dress model, basic peasant model. And when you walk out of the stores with a new pair of safety shoes on, you feel 10 feet tall. I think getting your brand new hard hat issued to you. That's always a good thing. You know, a nice, shiny, hard hat. You take it back to where you're working. You figure out what you're going to paint on it. What kind of decals you're going to put on it. You know, this is a whole artistic expression of the inner man. And the smell of a new pair of safety goggles. Well, that's a special thing to anyone who's ever smelled a new pair of safety goggles as he clamps them on his eyeballs for the first time. You know what I'm talking about. You look through them for the first time, and they're not scratched. Everything is clean and bright. That's the last time they'll be like that. 6 months later, you see the world like you're looking at it through a Brillo pad. Then that feeling when you get the envelope, that envelope that is so pregnant with promise, that represents all of your toil, that represents blood, poured out on the floor of the blast furnace, the shipping dock, the strip mill, and it's such a little abstract thing. It's made out of paper. And yet, by George, it's your life. That's what it is, your life. and it's beautiful. Those gigantic coils of cold blue steel glistening with that palm oil. One of the most beautiful, talk about natural sculpture. This is beautiful, natural sculpture. I remember I was coming down around the coke plant one night. This was at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was working the night shift. And I saw a scene I'll never forget. I was just trotting along. It was pitch black. When I see coming at me around the corner, way up, maybe a mile away, is this diesel engine. And it's towing a hot metal car. Now, a hot metal car is like a big thermos bottle. It's like a thermos bottle on wheels. And it's long. It looks like it's maybe 67 feet long. And it tilts. And it's got a big opening on the top of it. And they pour molten. And so I'm running along with my bag. I'm sorting the mail. I'm looking down at the mail. And it's cold. The wind is blowing. And I see this diesel engine coming around the corner of a building. And right next to the track on the other side is a little weighing scale office. And so this train is coming right between them. And I could see the yellow light of the diesel just go, ooh, ooh, ooh. And he makes the corner. That is, the engine did. And I see coming around the corner now is this hot metal car. And all of a sudden my mind says, he's tipping over. I can't believe it. He's tipping over. And as it tilted, this stuff started to pour out of the top of it. Well, I saw these two guys jump out of this diesel engine and run into the dark. And all the while, this thing is slowly tilting over on its side, and then it settles down. It just laid down on its side, just boom. And that hot metal poured out of that thing. I can't describe what it was like. It was like a tremendous tidal wave. Well, it rolled over this building, and there was a puff of white smoke, and that building was ionized. Zapped. Well, it was one of those fantastic miracles, actually, that they had closed down this office something like 12 hours before, and there was nobody in it for the first time in years. And that place went up in a puff of white smoke. It took not more than maybe 30 seconds to dissolve it. That I think are only probably the only place in your existence that you see colors like this are possibly the desert, possibly the Sahara at sunset or dawn, the reds and the greens. The one thing the desert doesn't have is the spectacular flames. As you begin to absorb this sensual heat of the mill, the smells, the sound. These are things that cannot go on paintings. And they're all part of it. The feeling of the ground shaking beneath your feet. The cold. take that 5 minutes off, and you've been standing next to something that's so hot that it's cooked all the juices out of you, and you just sweat. You sit down, and you open an ice-cold Coke. I want to tell you that first big swallow of Coke is one of the great moments of all time. I mean, you can take sex, you can take it all. It's nothing compared to that instant.
Yeah, we're getting another bar through the mill now.
How's it?
Pretty good.
Okay, you're on the 179 now?
179.
Okay.
Water on, John?
243. Like coming into the clock house at dawn when you're punching in the day before your day off. That great feeling to know that tomorrow you're going to be off. And this is the last day of the week. Somehow the mill looks great on a day like that.
How's it shape, John? Pretty good there, Harry.
Up a little longer. We've got a hot bar here.
All right. Coming up.
All right.
You need okay?
I'll have to put these switches. 250 on. Right.
Next bar is going to have a little more acceleration, so we'll need a little more water.
I was climbing up to the top of one of these one day on an outside steel ladder, and the ladder was made of perforated steps, and you could look directly down, and you could see the ground below you. Well, I was rushing up this thing, and it had two metal railings on either side. And I ran up, and I was wearing safety shoes. And I remember with ding, 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 ding. I used to run up this thing every day, just like a machine, like a monkey going up a stick. And I ran up the side of this blast furnace until I came to this tiny office, the little bitty office that I used to every day go in and get gas report readings that I would give this guy, and he would give me another mysterious brown envelope. And he sat there like a Buddha, high atop this fantastic machine, just looking out over the world through these grimy windows, these green safety glasses. I threw the mail down, and he gave me his mail, and I stepped out of the door. And as I did, I was sorting my mail, which was a foolish thing to do. And I was on this high platform with the ladder going straight down, practically a vertical drop, roughly 90 feet below me was the ground. And I stepped out on that first step, and the wind screamed around the corner, and I was shuffling my mail, and I was so confident. I just started down, and the next thing I knew, it all happened so suddenly, I'm in midair. Just as simple as that. I am falling. Just zip, my feet went out from under me. I saw my mail fly. Instinctively, my arms clamped down on the two rails on either side of me. I didn't even think that. Well, my body was swinging out over the abyss, and the guy who was working in the office came roaring out. He saw what happened. He saw me disappear out into the void. He came out like a shot. And I remember this fantastic power of this guy's hand. He grabbed me around the neck. He actually grabbed me by his hand right around the neck, and I couldn't breathe. He just grabbed me like a chicken, and he's holding out to me, and he pulled me in out of the screaming wind. And I remember the tremendous power of the pain that went through my body, because I had dislocated both shoulders. I was really in pain. But he dragged me back in and sat me down, and he just looked at me. That was a hell of a dumb thing to do. The mill is so filled with sound that mill people who work in the steel mill, most parts of the steel mill, get to be very good at lip reading. You'll find guys will have long conversations and never hear each other. That they'll be 15, 20 feet away in the middle of the open hut with the noise so enormous that they just can't talk to each other. They converse by shrugs. Metal. It just shot out through the darkness, out across this mill, and it began to flow. And there is no sight anywhere in all of industry. In fact, I would say very few sights anywhere in any kind of life that match that strange movement. And the heat is tapped. Tapping the heat is one of the most exciting words in the mill. Out and there is no stopping. The minute that heat is tapped, it just roars out. fire lights up the whole place inside. This dark mill suddenly becomes as light as day, but it's a curious red, flickering white, screaming light. It's like the light of hell. And you see things, great shadows. Suddenly, you see one of the sights that steelworkers talk about all over the world. It's a universal steelworker sight. Suddenly looms out of the darkness the phantom of the open heart. The phantom of the open heart. A lady, a strange, mysterious lady, staring out of that flickering orange-green flame, looking down with slant, slit eyes, inscrutable. The phantom of the open heart. It's a sight you never forget.